This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. I'm Sean Tubbs. Most people who live around here work around here, but many people also commute to Richmond, to Lexington, to Lynchburg, and some all the way to D.C.
My name is Mike Thrift, and I live in the Fry Spring neighborhood of Charlottesville.
Could you tell me a little bit about how you get to work every day?
Yeah, I work at EPA in downtown Washington, D.C., and I telecommute part of the week, and I drive and ride VRE the rest of the week. I usually go every other day so I don't have to commute back-to-back days. On the days I go up to D.C., I leave town at about 5:30 in the morning and drive up 29 and switch over to Route 28 up into the Manassas area and catch the VRE, which is terminus is at Broad Run Airport just outside of Manassas. Then I take the train for about an hour into downtown D.C. and walk to my office. Little less than 2 hours driving, and then I park and I walk to the train, and just a little bit of walking at the end of the train just to get my brain going again after having sat down for 3 hours.
I spoke to Mike at the first public meeting of the group Charlottesville Citizens for Better Rail Alternatives, held Thursday, September 8th at the Downtown Visitor Center. The group seeks to bring commuter rail to Charlottesville from D.C. every day via the Virginia Railway Express, a service that currently serves Northern Virginia, with terminals in Fredericksburg and Manassas, all the way to Union Station. Former City Councilwoman Meredith Richards is one of the organizers of the effort, which is in its infancy. Here's an edited portion, lasting 18 minutes or so, of Richards' presentation to about 60 rail enthusiasts, in which he gives the case for extending a Northern Virginia railway south. Afterwards, we'll hear more from Mike Thrift.
This is literally the very first public meeting and first organizational meeting for Charlottesville Citizens for Better Rail Alternatives. So we, I'm not sure what to expect tonight. I'm gonna give you a PowerPoint presentation that will tell you a bit about sort of the background in terms of rail, intercity rail services that for what we're proposing, a little bit about Virginia Railway Express, and then a bit about our organization. And an organization, I use the term very loosely, it consists right now of a few of us, a very few people who came up with this idea and recognized that it was an idea whose time has come and are really promoting it. So it's amazing how diverse the response has been to our launch of our website. So I think it's going to be an exciting organization for that reason, because we have a broad cross-section of the community. And so this is very new to all of us, and I hope that we see more of each other and we can work together to make this vision of direct rail connections to D.C. from Charlottesville a reality. I think it's very much within reach as a project. I think it's doable, and it's accessible. And so I will, at the end of the presentation, talk about what the needs for advocacy and to develop this effort are going to be. And I hope that I can seduce each of you into some role in this organization, because we are truly at the ground floor right now. Probably the potential of what we're doing is a little bit in advance of our level of organization at this point. So let's move on, and I'm going to tell you a bit about other successful intercity passenger rail services. And the reason I'm doing this is because you'll hear a lot of people say that passenger rail is all but dead in this country and that it has no potential. But what I want to demonstrate is just the opposite, that wherever a new service that's a good service is introduced, the ridership explodes. And that's what we would anticipate, I think, would happen in this case. So, intercity rail obviously takes cars off the highways. That's one of the reasons we're all here, because we drive between Charlottesville and Washington, D.C., and that drive has become dangerous, congested, and altogether unpleasant, and longer. It's at least an hour and 15 minutes longer than it was when we first moved here to Charlottesville, and it's just become so congested. Intercity rail offers many amenities. While riding on the train, typically you can, you'll have access to a dining car or a club car. You can work productively using your laptops. And when you get to your destination, you'll find intermodal services to get you where you're going. And as we all know, especially the train buffs who are here, trains are a great way to see America. and a beautiful way to travel. Some facts about intercity rail. Obviously, it connects communities. That's the definition. That's what intercities is all about, much like the rail lines did many years ago in our grandparents' time, when it was the major way to travel between communities. It's an alternative to driving. Usually there are intermodal links to transit at the destination, an alternative to flying. Students love it. Tourists love it. In correspondence on our website pointed out, it's not light rail. Intercity rail is pretty much the same as heavy rail, except it's defined by the kinds of destinations and sometimes by the speed and sometimes by the size of the cars. Often it must compete with freight because it uses existing traffic. And this is a chronic problem for passenger rail in America, is that our infrastructure requires that passenger rail compete with the freight schedules, and usually passenger rail takes the back seat to freight. One of the projects that I'm going to talk about is the Capital Corridor Service in California, Northern California. It has 16 stations that cross 18 Northern California counties from San Jose to Sacramento. Some facts about the Capital Corridor line. In 2004, there were 1,165,300 riders, and ridership has increased 152% in 6 years. Revenues increased 110%, and the number of daily trains has increased from 8 to 24. That's a 200% increase. And this is what I'm saying. This is not Amtrak's record of declining ridership. This is exploding ridership for people who clearly want to use rail to get between cities. And the difference between that model and Amtrak's model is that it is funded by the state of California. It's locally controlled and managed, and it's operated. The trains are operated by Amtrak, but they're owned by the state, and the management is local. They've added many very creative programs, such as a kids ride free program during the summer. Also, they have a school field trips program where teachers basically schedule their field trips, and they work with a coordinator who coordinates the field trips, and the kids then travel all over the state of California on the train on their field trips. A second service I want to talk about is the Cascades line in the Pacific Northwest. It runs between Eugene, Oregon, and Vancouver, British Columbia. About the Cascades line, it carried over 600,000 passengers in 2004. It met its 12-year ridership goal in the first 3 years of service. Its ridership continues to grow every year. And again, it's funded by the states of Oregon and Washington. The trains are designed for high-speed service. They're Talgo, Italian commuter trains. But because of the condition of the tracks, they are limited to 79 miles per hour for safety. Still, that has it way over what our Amtrak typical speeds are, average speeds are. And there's a tilting technology on the train so that while they're traveling 79 miles an hour and go around a curve, you're not thrown to either side. It's very smooth ride. It's a lovely smooth ride. And when it reaches the end of the line, the seats are simply turned around and it goes in the other direction. And now I'd like to talk about a service that was proposed by the state of Virginia, the Department of Rail and Public Transportation, which went all around the state in 1998, some of you may remember that, and held public hearings about whether people would be interested in an intercity rail service that spanned from the far southern border in Bristol, the southwestern border in Bristol, snaked up through central Virginia, and ended up in northern Virginia. And the response was quite overwhelming. And so it sort of stayed on the books since then. So it begins in Bristol, goes through Roanoke, Lynchburg, Charlottesville, Culpeper, Manassas, and on up to D.C. with a little spur from Lynchburg to Richmond. For 5 years, I served as a city and county representative on the committee to advance the Trans-Dominion Express. And, of course, I was interested in rail service across the state, but particularly in this link from Charlottesville to Washington, because it seemed to me that it would be a great benefit to our community. And so I was mightily interested in that. And unfortunately, in the last year's General Assembly, the demonstration project for the TDX, we call it the TDX, was funded at $20 million. Now, the overall cost of the project, the capital investment, just to fix up the tracks along the route, would be about $120 million. The state was not willing to commit that much. And so what they funded was a demonstration project that would go from Bristol to Roanoke to Lynchburg and then east to Richmond, completely shutting off the rest of us, anything north of Lynchburg. So that left us without the prospect any time in the near future of that service bringing more trains between Charlottesville and D.C. So it was at that point that some of us decided it was time to turn to another option and look for direct rail service between Charlottesville and D.C. And Virginia Railway Express was an obvious candidate to operate that service. Something about Virginia Railway Express, a few facts. It began service in 1993, and the ridership has doubled during that time. It carries 3.3 million riders every year. Well, it carried those in 2004. The ridership continues to increase every year. VRE has just ordered a new fleet of double-decker trains, in fact, because the demand so far exceeds now what they're able to provide. In peak hours, the two peak hours in the morning and the evening, every day, they compute that based on the number of passengers they carry, they take one lane of traffic off I-95 and I-66 every day. And they have gained a national reputation. They're considered a model for on-time performance, efficiency, and customer service. VRE serves many times a day, travels between Union Station in Washington and Fredericksburg, and then also serves Alexandria and Manassas. And they are working now on an extension to Gainesville and Haymarket. So that is the market that they serve presently. They literally are a commuter rail service at this stage in their development because they serve the Northern Virginia area and its suburbs. A few facts about trains and train transportation. If you compare rail, air, and automobile travel per passenger mile, you see that just using Amtrak as our example of trains, pollution in terms of ounces per passenger per mile, 3 ounces for Amtrak, 17, over 17 for air travel, and almost 10 ounces by car. In terms of government subsidies, you can see that we primarily subsidize automobile travel, and air travel is subsidized in great proportion more than train travel, certainly than Amtrak. Cost to consumers in cents per mile, Amtrak 5 cents, airplanes 19, and automobiles 36 cents. And then, of course, travel time, airplanes has it all over the other two, unless you consider the time it takes to get to the station and to get to the airport, check in, and go through security and such things as that. In the 25 years since the federal government has been funding transportation, or, well, let's say just in the last 25 years, a total of $782 billion of transportation funding has been provided to different modes. Highways have taken over 48% of that, air travel 22%, ports 12%, transit 12%, and rail 4%. In Virginia, I was very honored to serve on Governor Warner's Commission on Rail Enhancement for the 21st Century, and we learned a lot about the past, the non-funding of rail in the past in Virginia. Most states do not have any dedicated fund devoted to rail, and Virginia has never had one either. And in Virginia's formula for distributing the Transportation Trust Fund dollars, 78.7% goes to highways, 14.7% to transit, 4.2% to ports, 2.4% to airports, and not a single dollar to rail. So Governor Warner established a commission to make recommendations about how to enhance rail travel in Virginia. And the commission met and made a number of recommendations. One was that Virginia begin to have a dedicated rail fund. And the General Assembly adopted legislation which established the rail fund last year. And now we devote a portion of the vehicle rental tax to a dedicated rail fund, which in this budget year will amount to about $23 million. Now, as to what we're proposing with CCBRA, which is Virginia Railway Express, extension of their commuter rail service in Northern Virginia to Charlottesville. And we think this is an idea whose time has come. Studies done by the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation on the cost of the Trans-Dominion Express found that the total investment would be $122 million in terms of capital investment to improve the rails, $14 million annual operating funds, and would take a total travel time from Bristol to Washington of over 8 hours. Then, in factoring out the service that actually has been funded as a demonstration project, the initial investment will be $20 million, annual operating cost $8 million, and the travel time between Bristol to Richmond will be 10 hours. It's a 6.5-hour drive by car. In contrast, according to a report published by the Department of Rail and Public Transportation, the total investment for VRE to Charlottesville would be $2 million capital investment, $1.6 million annual operating subsidy, and the travel time would be 2.5 hours, with intermediate stations in Orange, Culpeper, and Manassas. I would like to point out that this is the operating cost if we were running empty trains, and that will be offset by any revenue that the service provides. On January 10th, I somewhat controversially held a press conference in which I revealed to the community that Charlottesville and all points north of Lynchburg had been essentially cut from the demonstration project for the Trans-Dominion Express. And the press coverage is what led to essentially this grassroots movement, because I was approached by several people who said, let's just go for direct rail service to D.C. and forget about the TDX for the time being. And so we made contacts with Virginia Railway Express, and on May 3rd, VRE sent their government liaison person to Charlottesville, and we arranged a series of meetings with local officials, elected officials, tourism officials, business leaders, and university officials. On May 20th, we launched our website, thanks to Dave's good work. On May 22nd, we held a press conference announcing our new group, and we are now in the process of forming new partnerships. And so far, we've partnered with the Alliance for Community Choice in Transportation, the Ravana Chapter of the Rail Historical Society, a group that's here today, Rail Solution, the Thomas Jefferson Partnership for Economic Development, the Chamber of Commerce, Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission, and the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Since launching our website and our new group, we've created quite of what someone yesterday called buzz. We've created some buzz, and we've gotten a lot of really good press coverage, which to me tells a lot of the story about the interest this community has in this project. So we're here today to look at what our tasks ahead are. And there are a number of things that we need to do. We are an advocacy, a grassroots advocacy group. And our hope is that we can get some funding from the state and federal sources, and that we can demonstrate to Virginia Railway Express and to the funders that we are interested in this project. The community will use this service, and if they bring the trains to Charlottesville, we'll ride them. One essential and critical thing is going to be a ridership survey, and VRE is going to require this, and any public funding source is going to require a ridership survey, a scientifically sampled survey in the community, and also in the business community and the university community that demonstrates that the ridership potential is there and the market is there.
That was Meredith Richards with Charlottesville Citizens for Better Rail Alternatives, speaking at the group's first organizational meeting on Thursday, September 8th. Mike Thrift was one of the attendees, and he commutes to and from Washington, D.C. from his home in Charlottesville. I asked him to tell me if he would ride the extended VRE.
This train would cut out a good 45 minutes of my commute, and it would wipe out the whole miserable two-hour drive. The worst part of the drive is the last 20 minutes to half hour, which is for covering about a mile of Prince William County. The roads there are these narrow country roads, but they built these neighborhoods of McMansions all around out there, and there's so much bottleneck and gridlock. It's miserable. And I sometimes miss my train, which is pretty much ruins the day, you know, for that point.
Now, do you think that you're the only person doing this?
No. I know that there are a couple of other people in the Charlottesville or Central Virginia area who are doing this. I see their cars both in the morning and at nighttime. I don't know how many. I don't know if, you know, we're a big enough group to adequately supply a ridership for the train now coming out of Charlottesville, but we're there. Yeah.
Now, some people might ask, well, if you work in D.C., why don't you just live in that area?
Well, that's sort of a life story. My wife and I moved out here from Los Angeles in 1992. After we finished graduate school, I got a job at EPA. She got a job at UVA. We first moved to Culpeper, and that looked like it was halfway between our jobs on the map. And then we decided we liked Charlottesville best, so we moved down here, and I was able to limit the amount of days I have to commute up to D.C. The federal government is a great, family-friendly, flexible employer.
Okay. And of course, in terms of now, just a couple late things. Now, do you realistically see this happening, or do you think there are some compromises that could be worked out?
I realistically see it happening. I don't know how quickly. To get VRE started back in the early 90s, it took a lot of strong arming from the state to get the freight lines to sort of cough up track time, and to get the local jurisdictions to cough up, you know, the penny per gallon gas tax to fund building stations. Charlottesville seems to be, you know, very interested in it. I don't know that the community as a whole, who would have to be, you know, paying for the gas tax for people like me to be able to ride to work easier, would go for it. But there might be other sources of funding. I think, you know, given the people who are involved in this, it looks pretty encouraging that it could happen sometime, you know, before I retire.
Okay. Great. Anything else you'd like to add, or?
I would just like to say that, you know, VRE is a fantastic experience. When I talk about them, I almost sound like I'm a salesman for them, but I am one of their most loyal riders. I've made great friendships with other riders on the train, with conductors who've been working on it for years. If it hadn't been for VRE existence, I really could not have kept up working in D.C. and living, you know, anywhere further away than, you know, say, Prince William County or Fauquier County. It's just the only way I've been able to do this is by being able to ride VRE.
Now, there have been critics, just yeah. The final question, but there have been critics about that approach, saying that that's not sustainable. How would you answer that?
That's a legitimate concern, I think, but it depends upon how the stations are placed. If you're putting stations along Route 29, you know, say in Greene County, you know, up towards Rutgersville, Madison, all these places which are, you know, not doing a great job of controlling their own local growth, that could, you know, encourage some continued sprawl. The thing is, that sprawl is occurring now anyway. People are already moving there and driving. I don't know that it's going to, that putting train service out there will affect that greatly. In Manassas, there has been some, you know, neighborhood buildup around what was the terminus station, the Broad Run Airport Station, which was rural 15 years ago. But Prince William County does not do a great job in controlling its own growth anyway. In Charlottesville's case, if the train station is placed downtown, there's not going to be the pressure, you know, to build up neighborhoods, you know, further out in the burbs, in Crozet or the northern part of Albemarle County. People aren't going to move there in order to drive to downtown to catch a train. It would serve mainly people who are already here, I think. But I'm, you know, I've got no evidence to support any kind of view. I am, you know, an environmentalist myself, so you know, I've got concerns along those lines as well. But maybe my self-interest overrides everything.
Mike Thrift works for the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington, D.C., and commutes from Charlottesville every other day. And that's it for this podcast. As always, we'd like to know what you think. Give us a call on our feedback line at 295-6609 to let us know what you think about the train. Or leave feedback on the blog at SeavillePodcast.com. I'm Sean Tubbs, and this is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, a public service of Wordcast Productions. Thanks for listening.